This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
I'm Craig D'Onofrio.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Andy Bates.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest...
They're all designed to reach out to the new Americans that are coming into the city, almost entirely refugees, people coming from various refugee camps, and right now the biggest stream is from Nepal.
How should a Christian discuss Jesus with Muslims or Jews? I'm Kip Allen, and I'll explain later in the broadcast.
Lutherans are talking to Catholics on an official basis. I'm Craig D'Onofrio, and I'll have more about the talks later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
Reverend Matthew Heise was one of our interview subjects on World Lutheran News Digest. From the Lutheran Heritage Foundation comes word that Pastor Heise has accepted a call to become the executive director for LHF, a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Heise is an experienced missionary and theological educator who has spent time in Russia, the Ukraine, Georgia, and Mongolia, among other locations. Lutheran Heritage Foundation has been translating, publishing, distributing, and introducing books of the Lutheran faith for churches worldwide in more than 80 countries and 90 languages for the past 22 years. Reverend Heise will begin his new position with LHF on the 1st of April 2014. From the Lutheran Church of New Zealand, Bishop Mark Whitfield reports that there is a great deal of interest in a series of seminars that will be presented in February throughout the LCNZ called Blessed Are the Peacemakers. Bishop Whitfield says Pastor Bruce Zagel, the Director of Reconciliation for the LCNZ, will be making the presentations at four congregations. The topics include understanding conflict from a biblical viewpoint, identifying worldly and godly responses to conflict, describing three opportunities for Christians in conflict, how to confess your faults without justification, how to forgive others as God forgave you, and how to achieve genuine reconciliation. The aim of the Blessed Are the Peacemakers presentation is to help people practice new ways of addressing conflict while cultivating lifestyles of reconciliation in the family, workplace, and church. The works of 20 acclaimed photographers make up the Pure Photography Pictorial and Modern Photographs exhibit on display in the Markshausen Gallery of Art at Concordia University in the city of Seward. The curator and professor of art at Concordia, Jim Bockelman, calls it a superb show and says it includes works by Alfred Stieglitz, Paul Strand, Bernice Abbott, Edward Weston, and Eugene Atget. On Sunday afternoon, a gallery reception will be held with a special exhibit talk. The photographs come on loan from Syracuse University and show the influences by the multinational cultures of the photographers, representing those with Czech, German, French, Mexican, United States, and Canadian backgrounds. The exhibit runs through February 21st. The week of January 26th through February 1st is the annual National Lutheran Schools Week in the United States. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod focuses on the educational benefits throughout the church's 2,300 preschools, elementary schools, and high schools, with the public opportunity to proclaim and celebrate God's work among the students, families, faculty, and staff. The theme for the 2014 observance is Witness Always, Raising Up Faithful Disciples, based on 1 John 5, verses 7 and 8. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. There's more information available about Lutheran Schools Week online at www.lcms.org/Lutheran Schools Week.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Wilongasi Lutheran Fahama.
The three great monotheistic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all recognize Jesus as a historical figure, but all three have very different views of him. Pastor Nabil Noor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota, was born and raised in the Middle East. He has firsthand experience with all three faiths. Noor explains that Christians know Jesus is Lord.
for us as believers in Jesus, number one, he is both Lord and God. He's totally man. He's totally divine. He is the Savior of mankind from sin, death, and the devil. And there is no other way by which we come into the Father except through him.
Jews recognize that Jesus existed, but most place no special emphasis on him.
Jews, they will claim that there was a historical Jesus that walked upon the earth at one point. But they say he is not really the Messiah.
While most Jews have no regard for Jesus one way or the other, Pastor Dorer says some Orthodox Jews are actively hostile.
They have a great animosity towards Jesus because he is not, according to their standard, don't believe that he is truly Jesus Christ.
In fact, some Orthodox followers have changed Jesus' traditional Hebrew name, Yeshua, which means the one who saves, to another name with an entirely different meaning.
Yimche Shmo Vizichro. May his memory and his name be erased.
Muslims also recognize the historical Jesus, but unlike Jews, Muslims revere him.
They do believe that he is a historical Jesus. They do believe that he was a prophet sent from God. They do believe he has done many, many, many miracles.
They do not, however, consider Jesus divine. To them, there are a number of prophets, but only Muhammad is God's true prophet.
However, they say in Arabic, La ilaha illallah wa Muhammadun Rasulullah. There is no God but one God, and Muhammad is the, capital H, prophet, capital P, the prophet of God.
The Islamic view of Jesus differs from Christians in other areas as well. For example, Muslims reject the belief that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead.
Neither was crucified nor killed, but God made it appear like it was him on the cross, because God could not and would not let a prophet endure that kind of treatment.
So how does a Christian speak of Jesus to those who reject his divinity? Pastor Noer suggests start by not criticizing the books those faiths consider holy.
I always say, number one, do not look at the scriptures and find fault in it, whether it is the Islamic Quran, the holy book, or the Tanakh, which is the writings and the prophets of the Old Testament, or the Torah also.
With Jews, start with the Old Testament, as both faiths have many of the Old Testament books in common.
So for the Jewish people, in order for us to minister to them and reach them, is one-on-one, not to be an antagonist and not to be vicious, but begin where they are. You know, begin with what they have in their scripture and identify what God had said for them.
While Jews often study the books of the Old Testament, some concentrate just on the first five books. Pastor Noer relates how he knew an elderly Jewish woman who attended synagogue every Saturday but knew little of the Psalms.
I said, what do you know about David and his sin? Oh, he couldn't have sinned. He was the king of Israel. I said, don't you know what he did, that he killed a man because he had slept with his wife and fathered a child with her? He slept with her outside the marriage bond? No way! I said, you've never read Psalm 51? She hadn't even heard of Bathsheba.
As for Muslims, Pastor Noer suggests mentioning that the Quran speaks of Jesus' many miracles, while only attributing one to Muhammad.
On the Muslims, it's pretty much the same things, but begin with their book and talk about what it says about Isa, because they attribute to him that many more miracles.
Pastor Noer says that the Christian can use the same approach to both Jews and Muslims when discussing Jesus.
The best way to minister to the Muslims as well as to the Jews is to be friending them, and to highlight the good about their religion.
Jews and Christians today coexist peacefully, despite a history of animosity. Jews don't seek converts, well, Christians do seek converts, but only through preaching the gospel and by living by example. This is not the case with Muslims.
If you read the Quran in Surah 5, verse 9, it tells you, you have to get rid of the infidels. I mean, that is a command, and if you don't do that, you're going to go to hell.
From its very beginning, Islam spread through violence. Those who were conquered were given a choice.
The increase and the spread of Islam occurred by the power of the sword. If you know the history, from the 6th to the 8th century, the Muslim really increased. It was all by the sword. They would come and they'll give you the option. You either convert or live like dogs under us by paying the jizya or the taxes.
Refusal to accept either meant instant death. There's another major difference that separates Muslims from Christians and Jews. While a Christian or a Jew may die for his faith, he can't kill for it. In Islam, not only is killing permitted, but it may even be required.
In the Islamic faith, that is one of the things they talk about, the shahid or the martyr. They kill themselves for the sake of the kingdom so that they can go to heaven. And of course, that's what they did when they did 9/11, when they attacked this country.
How is a Christian to respond? Well, Pastor Nora says Jesus gave us the answer.
But for those who still, go against us, we do what the Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount. Pray for those who persecute you and love those who hate you.
We are instructed to pray for all. Jesus died not only for Christians, but for all people. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
On the next Book Talk, one of the most thorough and compassionate books on the topic, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, with Dr. Robert Gagnon. The goal here is to wake up homosexuals and the rest of us to the seriousness of the matter, the unreality of the world homosexuals live in, especially the unreality of false notions about Scripture's view of homosexuality. Fridays at 2 p.m.
on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
I'm Roland Lettner, coming up on this weekend's edition of Studio A. Up first, is there any benefit to showing graphic images of aborted children to the public? Can those images in any way, shape, or form sway the debate in favor of the pro-life movement? Then, the link between abortion, abortifacient birth control, and breast cancer in women. Since 73, it's off the charts. That's all this weekend on Studio A.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. இது லோக லூதரன் வார்த்தா பரிபாடியாகும்.
Last year, the International Institute of St. Louis brought in over 600 refugees to the St. Louis metropolitan area. Christian Friends of New Americans, a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, partners with local congregations and operates ministry centers to welcome these new refugees. Dr. Alan Buckman of Christian Friends of New Americans describes the most recent work of the South City Ministry Center.
They're all designed to reach out to the new Americans that are coming into the city, almost entirely refugees, people coming from various refugee camps, and right now the biggest stream is from Nepal.
Ascension Lutheran Church of St. Louis is a partner congregation with CFNA, where Reverend Matthew Clark serves as pastor. The congregation has worked with CFNA to welcome the nearly 200 Nepalese refugees to the South St. Louis neighborhood. CFNA works to provide quick link resources to refugees, such as home furnishings, health and wellness clinics, and scholarships to Lutheran schools in partnership with the Lutheran Foundation. Partner congregations such as Ascension Lutheran Church agree to work with CFNA to reach out to refugees in their neighborhood. By offering transportation, providing Bible classes, and assisting in other ways, congregations like Ascension welcome refugees with both mercy and witness to Christ. Dr. Buckman describes how members of Ascension serve at the CFNA Ministry Center and build relationships with the refugees.
They assist with after-school tutoring, they assist with the wellness clinic, and they assist in other ways from time to time. By doing that, these members themselves have created links with some of the new American people, especially in Nepali, and have become, I would say, advocates for this ministry in that congregation.
With an estimated only 1.4% of the population in Nepal identified as Christian, the opportunity to bring the good news of Jesus to these new Americans is great. Gagang Gurung is one of those few and recently came to the U.S. and shortly began Lutheran catechesis.
He was a spiritual leader in Nepal. He was a pastor of a congregation and came over here, joined his family who had already stepped into the Lutheran circle. And when he arrived, we had some discussions with him about doing with CFNA what he had been doing in Nepal. And he was very interested. So he went into a catechetical study.
With support from Gagang Gurung, Pastor Clark and members at Ascension Lutheran Church cared for and instructed their new friends. On Sunday, January 12th, in a service with translators, 21 Nepali immigrants were baptized in the name of the Triune God at Ascension Lutheran Church. In that same service, Gagang Gurung was confirmed. Since 2010, CFNA has partnered in 31 other baptisms and several confirmations in partner congregations. CFNA often has need for home furnishing donations and hosts two annual fundraisers to support their work of welcoming new Americans.
I'm Andy Bates.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week, I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
Johann Sebastian Bach once said, "The aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul." We're providing some glorious refreshment 24 hours a day online at classic99.com. Great classical music and sacred classics originating from these historic studios of KFUO Radio. Check us out, classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Este é a Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
A conference was held last November in Rome between various Protestant organizations and the Roman Catholic Church. The Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, who serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as Director of Church Relations, was there in his official capacity.
Well, the Director of Church Relations serves as an assistant to the President, who has been charged as the Chief Ecumenical Officer of the Synod.
The conference was part of the Pontifical Council on Christian Unity.
Well, this is the Pontifical Council on Christian Unity, and this was formed out of the Vatican II Council in Rome.
An outgrowth of Vatican II, the Roman Catholic Church spearheaded dialogue with other Christian faiths, including the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Rome decided to talk to churches, Protestant churches in particular, and so they have had a dialogue with various churches, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, since the 1960s.
Dr. Culver attended as an official representative of the International Lutheran Council.
Well, the ILC is the International Lutheran Council, and this is an organization that has gathered like-minded confessional Lutheran churches together to support and encourage one another, and they frequently have conferences together to help promote confessional Lutheran causes.
Lutheran churches have been having dialogues with local and regional Roman Catholic bodies for quite some time. The German Church, a partner of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, helped pave the way for attendance to the conference in Rome.
Part of this meeting came about because our partner church in Germany, the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church, ZELC is their initials, has had regional dialogues with the Roman Catholics in Germany.
Similar meetings have been taking place in North America.
Meanwhile, the Lutheran Church Canada, another partner of the Missouri Synod, has been having dialogues with Roman Catholics in Canada. And we in the Missouri Synod have been having local dialogues with the Archbishop in St. Louis and with the United Council of Catholic Bishops.
Dr. Culver said he was favorably impressed with the Catholic officials. He noted they were very familiar with confessional Lutheranism.
Well, first I want to say that Cardinal Cook and his staff, Monsignor Turk, are consummate professionals, and they, in fact, know the Lutheran documents probably better than many Lutherans do.
Catholic officials asked very specific questions concerning Lutheran doctrine.
For instance, they would ask us questions like, what is the Lutheran practice on communion from the basis of Lewenberg Concord, and why might you agree or disagree with that?
According to Culver, the Catholic officials not only asked those questions, they also knew the answers.
They already knew the answer to the question. They wanted to see what we would say. So these individuals were well prepared and knew what we say we believe.
Both the Roman Catholics and the ILC have hopes for the meeting.
Well, in fact, the Roman Catholics asked us, what do you hope will come out of this meeting? And for Rome, they have the ultimate goal that the prayer of Jesus, that the church may be one, is fulfilled.
The Roman Catholics have been meeting with the World Lutheran Federation for a half century, but many of the WLF's positions are at odds with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Well, the Lutheran World Federation has been having dialogues with Rome since the 1960s, and they've produced a number of fine study documents out of that. However, in the discussions, for instance, the Joint Declaration on Justification that came out of these discussions with Rome does not represent the position of the Missouri Synod on justification, nor the position of justification held by the International Lutheran Council.
Culver said the ILC wanted to demonstrate to the Catholics how the position and beliefs of confessional Lutherans differ from that of the WLF.
We ourselves did not go there so much with that goal, as we went to Rome in order to give the perspective of confessional Lutherans in contrast to the position of the LWF.
While the Roman Catholic Church is familiar with the WLF, the ILC is relatively new to them. Culver noted Vatican officials wanted to learn more about the ILC.
While we were in Rome, the first thing we did is we presented who the International Lutheran Council was, what churches are represented by it. Rome also asked us how many people are represented by this. They wanted to have a sense of how large of an organization this is. The Lutheran World Federation claims to have 80 million members, so they wanted to know, well, how big are you?
Last November's meeting produced results. One result is that there will be a series of ecumenical meetings between the Vatican and ILC during the next 3 years.
One of the immediate results of this is that there will be some ongoing discussions. We're scheduling 7 discussions over the next 3 years. One discussion is to talk about the format of the future discussions, and then 2 discussions a year for the next 3 years.
The exchange of doctrinal views was useful. It helped clarify and strengthen the position of confessional Lutherans and also showed areas of agreement with the Roman Catholic Church.
It's like iron sharpening iron. It helps make our confessional position more clear. It also allows Rome to better understand us. We're able to see where we truly have common agreement. For instance, the doctrine of the Trinity. We both confess the doctrine of the Trinity.
Another benefit is that it gives the ILC in general and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in particular increased visibility to other churches worldwide that are seeking fellow worshipers with a confessional Lutheran position.
And in the ecumenical world scene, the fact that we are talking to the largest Christian church on earth, it increases our ability to interact with some of these other churches who are looking for our confessional position.
This is especially important this coming year when President Matthew Harrison and other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod officials visit Lutheran congregations in Africa that are seeking kindred souls. Craig D'Onofrio, World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.